Here we go, my friends. Monday morning. Here's the question. How do we create opportunities from the seemingly vast abyss in today's market? All right. So, as most of you know, for those of you that don't, I was at the truck show on Truck World on Friday, and hanging out with my main man, Drew Pearson. And Drew, I know we mentioned this, and actually I just realized I haven't asked you if I can talk about this, so I'm going to talk about it anyways and just beg for forgiveness after Drew. I apologize. You know, as Drew and I were having a conversation about business, about sales, and about really how we navigate the sales market, Drew mentioned something that I thought was astronomical. When he looks at large companies, and this is really what the in the nucleus of the logistics life is all about, because it's about understanding how people move through their business. And if there's little tiny things that we can grab and little nuggets of gold that we can attach to and use, I think it would really help everybody. So, and I know Drew's a big giver, so you'd have no problem me talking about this. But we were talking and Drew said, you know, Dan, I'll paraphrase the conversation because I'm not sure exactly how it went. But in essence, it was, you know, in going after these large corporations, I don't necessarily look at the freight. I look at different aspects of their business and go after those pieces. So he mentioned something that was, to me, it just kind of set me off. And I've been thinking about it for like all over the weekend now, because I think it is such a really cool way for you, the professional sales rep, to start thinking about things differently. So what Drew talks about is his first call is always to somebody in sales. He doesn't connect with the travel manager. He connects right with somebody in sales, you know, and we've talked on this show many times about connecting with salespeople. Salespeople in a lot of companies have way more control than you think they do when it comes to logistics. Not to mention, most salespeople enjoy talking. Not to mention, most salespeople, when you bring up opportunities, and this is where we create opportunities from the abyss, about how you can serve them in this way, that way, this way, that way, that improves the overall performance of their company. Hence, and here's the really big thing, hence helps assist them in landing and keeping more customers long-term, adds money to their pocket, right? So with all that being said, why not start with the salespeople? At least give you direction as to maybe some of the challenges, maybe some of the issues. Then there's another end to it. And this end I thought was astronomical, where Drew was talking about, you know, these large companies. And he says, I don't really go after them for freight in the general freight market. I look at different areas of the company. So what kind of machinery do they have? What kind of services do they offer? What kind of repairs do they need? And he'll start soliciting those people in the company to kind of work almost a 360, but you're not involved in that saturated part of their market, right? And we're talking large major corporations, you know, that go out to bid all the time, that have contracts in place where the margins are typically lower because it's a contracted rate and it's higher volume. And just that aspect alone, when you start really thinking about it, right? And you look at any corporation, any major corporation, right? So they have like repairs and maintenance for the facility, right? They've got machinery replacements. So, and I think my screen might have just froze, but anyways, hopefully it didn't. They've got machinery replacements. They've got like tools coming in and out. So is this forklifts? Is this like all these things that might not necessarily be controlled by the traffic division? And when Drew was saying that, in full transparency, it went pretty much right over my head at that moment. We were in the middle of a conversation with a couple of other people and just, you know, talking about different strategies, as I said, and it went over my head and it hit me, gosh, it's got to be about 5 or 6 hours later. And I went, hold on, what did he say in that conversation? And I started to replay the conversation in my head. And like, my eyes went big as saucers. I got this huge smile on my face because I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that conversation? How did I miss that opportunity? And it brings me to another point when I talk about opportunities into the abyss is what we pay attention to. And, you know, as you start listening more, and this is one of the reasons why, let me rephrase this. Very early on in my career, in retrospect, so about a third of the way into my career, maybe not very early on, actually, about a third of the way in my career, I heard somebody say, the difference between a professional and an amateur is when you ask a question and you know the typical scenarios you're always going to get back with the answer to that question. And what this person said is they said, you know, and what it does is it allows you to really listen to their answer. Because normally what we do, and I'm sure you're fully aware of it, is we go into a conversation and as somebody's speaking, we're preparing what we're going to say. So we miss things. And I honestly think this is what happened to me at the show when Drew was talking, is I was preparing my next sentence. And I've tried to work on this for decades. And sometimes I slip. And I think we all do. But when you move from an amateur to a pro, you understand what they're going to say, right? And some people say, well, Dan, is that why you ask the same question all the time? And it is, because the question that I ask all the time really allots to five answers. And I understand all of them and I can hear 3 to 4 words in the answer and I know what I can speak of next. I know the processes, I know kind of the flow, the call framework and all that I'm going to use in this process. And this thing hitting me a couple hours later really got me to understand that, okay, we're missing stuff on calls. So what my suggestion to that, and it's something that I'm going to learn as well, and I'm going to continue to teach myself because I'm avid on learning new things, but it's really creating that opportunity out of nothing. And it's by listening to the individuals. And, you know, I go back to that moment. I know I'm reliving that moment over and over and over again, but it's so powerful because I believe these things happen in our lives and they come to us in certain times because we might have a strategy or an idea or a process that we say, yes, that's awesome. I need to adopt that. And we'll adopt it for a little bit. And then what happens, right? Our lazy brain, our alligator brain or whatever they call it, takes over. Excuse me. And we neglect to continue doing it because of our habit that we've created in the past, right? It's kind of like, you know, letting yourself slip for 5 years on what you eat and then going back and eating for 2 weeks and expecting to see results or expecting to not crave sugar. You know, different topic. I realized on the weekend that my sugar addiction is real. And this is crazy. So we had some family over on the weekend, my brother and sister-in-law, and we're sitting there and I don't know how many of you know, but for over a year and a half, I haven't been able to taste sugar. And I started eating about a year ago and I can't taste any sweets or any sugar from the radiation and chemo. And for some reason, I found myself eating candy after candy after candy. And originally I had thought that it was because I loved sugar, but it's what the sugar does to my body, I've realized now. So, and I jumped to there because I want to jump to something else. You know, we look at the exhilaration. We look at the excitement we get from landing a customer, typically in the sense of logistics, freight, business, that kind of thing. But, and so a lot of people today are like frustrated. They're feeling down. They lack motivation because they're not winning in sense, right? And listening to Drew and then thinking about it after and replaying the conversation in my head, I started saying to myself, well, what if this was a way to get small wins, right? So instead of being rejected by a traffic manager, you call a salesperson, you get a win, you get that dopamine fix, because I believe that dopamine fix is the addiction most salespeople chase. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, right? Like us as a corporation, we love serving people, but I still love closing the deal, love getting a deal. There's that exhilaration, that dopamine, that adrenaline that comes with that, right? So I think that is somewhat of an addiction for us. And I think most, any salesperson that says they don't enjoy closing the sale and really building the customer and developing it and like getting the new customers and adopting them or having them become raving fans is an addictive, I think, would lie to you about anything else as well. So when I say that, I say it with all due respect. So in essence, I guess the roundabout, and I feel like I'm kind of babbling today, but it's just, I'm working through these thoughts as I'm speaking to you, because, so I'm sure you can see it ain't script. But you know, as we go into this week, you know, maybe tell yourself, I'm going to go for the next 3 weeks and I'm going to try a different angle on a lot of these companies. And maybe it's companies that you're not getting ahead with. Right. And this is what I started doing this morning. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I was up, I'm scheduling emails, I'm doing things, and I'm looking at things from a different angle. And not to mention, I put a sticky note on my computer to tell me to remind me, go Drew's way is what I put on my computer. And so Drew, again, thank you, brother. And I think this can really help us, and I'll be testing it. And I challenge you to test it, you know, to do different things, whether it be each day or each week, to try and keep that motivation, that desire, that ambition, that drive going. Because here's the thing I've found in everything we do. The motion creates emotion. So stepping forward, trying something new, reinvigorates what we do. And I think I know as sales reps, that's one of the largest determining factors between success and failure, is really saying to yourself, okay, what am I going to try different this year? You know, one thing we're doing at Bridger is the ownership team got together last week and we said, okay, we need to start failing faster. Like we need to implement. And we need to fail faster and faster and faster, because the more times we fail and find out what doesn't work, the faster it's going to bring us to what works. And maybe some of you are thinking right now, like the way you're selling and what's happening, you're failing. I mean, I hear it all the time. It's not happening fast enough. Have you ever tried looking at it from different angles and doing different things to help yourself fail faster and help yourself succeed? You know, we've had Andrea Waltz and Richard Fenton on here many times. And you know, you got to go through no to get to yes. But you also can't keep, you know, hitting a brick wall with your fist and expecting the brick wall to break before your fist. And I think that's the key element of sales is, you know, if it ain't working, just try something different. And here's what I mean by that, because you know, to just stop what you're doing and completely switch gears, I don't think is reasonable in a high productive, like in a high performance sales way. But I do believe using your allotted time wisely. So let's say you put 4 hours in of sales a day, right? Hypothetically, maybe take an hour and try a new sales process. So an hour of your sales is actually contacting sales reps. Maybe an hour of your sales is contacting CEOs. An hour of your sales is contacting chief operating officers. And just having the different conversations with them about what's impacting them in this world, what they're thinking about coming forward. And then maybe an hour of sales to traffic managers. Maybe you go 80% and 20, you know, 10% to sales reps and 10% to CEOs, or 20% to sales reps this week. And just see how it is and test it out. And, you know, the more I look at this, the more I start using paper, right? And I start really analyzing, because I do believe we can't maximize anything until we track it. We can't improve anything until we track it. So how do we know what's really working if we don't take the extra steps to track? Now, don't get me wrong, it is extra work. I know that. And, you know, the philosophy, if you will, of all marketing and all sales is, you know, make it so it's like easy to do and make it so people don't have to lift a finger or perceive that they don't have to lift a finger. And I understand it from a marketing perspective, right? I understand it from, you know, a direct marketing or a persuasion marketing perspective, or just in copy in general to say, oh my God, like you don't have to do anything. But the fact is in sales, we do. Right. So, yes, there are tools out there like Bridger who make your day so much easier. But in the end, it's what you put in. Right. And this is why when we built Bridger, it was built based on task completion. So based on task completion, you then progress forward. The system is intelligent enough to say, OK, you're doing this, this and this. Here's your gaps. Here's this. Here's that. But in the end, it's about what we do. Right. And we've talked about this for a few weeks now, and we'll continue to talk about it. It's like we use technology to give us more time. Right. So how can you double and triple down on your time? Right. For example, we talked about it on Friday. I was at Truck World. So I set up for about 2 hours before I left for Truck World, all my scheduled emails, everything I needed to do for the day, I preset in my system. So when I walked away and did something else, this would still be there. But here's the caveat to it is I still put in about 3 hours, probably even closer to 4 hours before I left for Truck World. So I got up early knowing I was going to Truck World, knowing I had to schedule all these things, knowing I had to do this, this, and this, and that this productivity scale I still needed to accomplish, even though I wasn't physically in the office, right? That's what tech does for us. That's what tech allows us to do, is it allows us to double and triple our time. The big issue that I see with a lot of people is they leave it to tech. And they don't double and triple and compound their time. And then they say, well, tech didn't work. They say this process didn't work. They didn't get targeted enough. They didn't have the right message. They didn't, like, there's all these different variables, right? But then we just sit there and say, it didn't work, right? So you're hitting the traffic manager, hitting the traffic manager, and it's not working. Well, then stop pounding the brick wall and start walking around and opening the door. And how do you do that, right? You turn the abyss into opportunities, and you pull opportunities from what most people consider the abyss. So in short, for today and for this week, I challenge you, in fact, to go out and really start doing something different, really start standing out from the crowd to your next prospect, because when you do that, you change the perspective of the conversation. And people are more open to that conversation. So just change the perspective of what you do. Change the process. Try something different. And, you know, here's the thing. And I've been doing this now for a few weeks because I'm constantly trying to, okay, if I'm connecting with the CEO, or I'm connecting with an account executive, or I'm connecting with the VP, or I'm connecting with the CEO, or I'm connecting with the president, or I'm connecting, it's like, how do I express myself? So for those of you that have got my emails, you know, some of them are funny. I try some in humor. I try some in life. I try some like no BS, straightforward. Here's what it is. I try some in the general. Hey, I wanted to see if this improvement, that improvement, this improvement would work for you. This new opportunity would work for you. Like I'm constantly testing all these different ways to get people's attention. And I don't think there's ever one single template. I don't think templates are great. Don't get me wrong, because they're a starting point. But I don't think there's one template. And I also don't think there's one single way. And over the next couple of weeks on the Logistics Life, we're going to be bringing you like from every gamut, from brand new salespeople opening their own companies to CEOs to like 30-year vets. And we're going to listen to so many different strategies, ideas, tools, and ways to go about logistics sales and just to live a life in logistics that I think it's going to blow your mind. Because I really think, based on how I see the industry, based on the years I've had in the industry, a lot of the conversation is everybody's doing the same thing. So I hope the next few weeks really brings you some great opportunities, and I hope you start pulling things out of the abyss. Until tomorrow, my friends, remember, go out there, make every call educational, and crush your sales. We'll see you then. Take care.